Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cos podcast. I'm Matt Cos. That's Bob Mackowitz. By the way, we keep forgetting this. This podcast is brought to you by Jeff Pollock. If you need a lawyer, and one day you will, and by the way, his wife, she is fantastic with tax law. Taxes apparently are coming, so go there as well for your law stuff, your tax stuff, jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G, jeffpollock.com. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm good. They're coming. Taxes are coming, unless you go with Jeff Pollock and his wife.
That's
right.
They'll
find a way to get you out of it.
Wink! No, they won't. They won't do that. I don't want to.
What are you talking about? It's legal. There's a tax code. There's such a thing as write-offs, shelters.
I'm not going to lie to you. There's a couple things that scare me. I don't want to know how many hours of my life I rewatch Simpsons episodes. I don't want to know how much money I spent on wine. And I don't want to know what I could have saved in taxes if I was better at knowing the system. I'm kind of just lazy.
I have a weird thought about The Simpsons. I do want to get back to your laziness and your indulgence, but America's kind of like Nelson Muntz. Huge, dopey, and into taunting. But who was Nelson Muntz's girlfriend? Lisa Simpson. And who is Lisa Simpson? It's us.
It's us.
Smart, smug, never gets anything done, looks down on people constantly.
Very left wing, probably loves Leonard Cohen.
Right? So the weirdness of Nelson and Lisa is the weirdness of us in the United States. We got to get back together with Nelson, buddy.
Well, isn't that thing that the bully always, the guy always bullies the girl that he secretly likes?
Maybe. There's also a thing about how the bullies also target the weak. Gord Zor, I'll never forget him leaping off the fence in Runnymede Public School, pouncing on me, and then showing his buddies how quickly he could slap on a figure four.
Oh, what's that?
And it was quick. It was really quick. Gord Zor had speed.
Does that hurt?
It can. It did. Yes. So okay. I guess the answer is yes. Short answer, yes.
I've only done amateur figure fours, and I never thought I really ever nailed it because I never inflicted pain on it. I never got Yokozuna to submit in a match.
Yeah, that would be hard to do. He was pretty big. Speaking of Jeff Pollock really quickly, I just want to throw out this quick message to him. I'm going to say this for you. Doug Ford's doing a good job. Winston Churchill is coming up an awful lot on Instagram these days. Don't know why. And Aaron O'Toole talked a lot about how important it was to fortify our defense. So, Jeff Pollock, I don't think you're right about everything, but those are three pretty good things.
You're having a good march. You're like the Duke Blue Devils or the Colorado Rockies. You're having a good march.
All right. So you know what? Do you want to get right into it? You had a question for me. You texted something. Before we get into the Mitch Marner situation, this is important.
Okay. So I'm going to be 50 at the end of May, which is forever from now. I mean, that's never going to happen. It's forever from now. But I'm trying to keep an eye on things that are showing. Am I getting older? And one of them is recently, every time when I'm with Amy, she'll look down and she's like, your fly is down. What is going on? Why is my fly down all the time? I went through most of my life with it up.
It means that you are fertile. And the reason I know this is because of the TV show Cheers. Because if you remember when Carla Tortelli took Sammy as her date to her ex-husband Nick's remarriage, Sammy commented that all the Tortelli men were walking around with their fly down. And Carla said, it's a sign of fertility.
Okay. What I love about that, by the way, Nick Tortelli, great character actor, so good in Usual Suspects, but nothing says we're old than I'm lamenting about turning 50, and your reference is from a TV show that peaked 37 years ago?
That was good math done quickly in your head. Yeah, it's been a long, long time. It's been a long time.
Okay, but I like that answer.
Everybody wants to go where everybody knows your name.
Listen, Amy and I like bars. That answer isn't going to help her. She is not happy with me about.
Does she have a theory?
No, she's just living in terror. Not when we're together, but she's like, you're going to be out at a party at an event at work and your fly's going to be down all day. And it terrifies her.
Okay. So there's really only one question that really, really matters. Mm-hmm. Do you wear underwear?
Of course.
Then there's no problem.
Exactly. The dong is not out.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Maybe when you're going to the movies, somewhere low impact. Mm. Don't wait and see what happens.
I don't know. Now I'm thinking of another 80s reference. Pee Wee Herman, no underwear, penis out, movie theater. It didn't end well for him.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to Mitch Marner. He was probably born in the 80s or maybe even, Jesus, the
90s. Yeah.
Probably the 90s. The 2000s?
Mitch, he'd be the late 90s because he would be about 26, 27.
25, 26, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he would be out when right around the time the first Shrek movie came out.
All right, Matt, I'm assuming that you've probably brought this up on your show this week. So I'm going to take a seat, get comfy. Why don't you set us up? Mitch Marner, contract negotiations, take one.
I'm not going to go long. I have a theory for you because the news happened on Friday that Mitch was approached to waive his no trade clause because the Leafs could have got Mikko Rantanen. He said no. They said, okay, but what's that?
What was that name again?
Mikko Rantanen.
Mikko Rantanen? Did you call him Rantanen?
Maybe. Rantanen. Listen, I've done far worse today than Rantanen or Rantanen or whatever. Stop racking my balls.
I miss you busting names up like that. Okay, anyway, sorry. Yes, your theory.
Yeah. So anyway, and then the Leafs said, hey, would you like to sign a long-term deal? He's like, no, I'm good. And all that news came out on Friday, and everyone was freaking out. So Monday, we were all dominated with Mitch Marner contract talks, and I realized the reason why. And the reason is a simple one. We haven't talked about Mitch Marner's contract all year, even though we've wanted to. So it's been boiling up. So Monday was like scream therapy, where we all just needed to scream about Mitch Marner's contract. So everyone on Monday was scream therapy about Marner and his impending UFA.
It was like primal scream from the solar plexus.
Yes.
Just purge yourself of the toxins. I'm always amazed when news like this comes out, how it came out. Because you'd like to think that both, like the Leafs are pretty good at being buttoned up. They don't let a lot of stuff out.
Nope.
But it was Chris Johnson who got the story, right?
Yeah.
Which side do you think benefits more from this news getting out? I have my own theories, but what do you think?
I think Mitch Marner benefits because it's like, my wife is just having a child. I'm having a great year. And now you want to trade me? So maybe it's Marner's side, but Mikko Rantanen has had over 100 points in around 80 playoff games. If you could take Mikko Rantanen right now for 8 years and $12.5 million, bye-bye, Mitch. We loved you. You were an awesome player. You did great charity work. The work you did with the children's hospitals. Love you, buddy. We're going to take Mikko for 8 and 12.5.
Is there a contract with Mitch Marner that you could live with after which you start to say, nah? And let's do it irrespective of how they do in the playoffs this year. Let's just assume it's a good playoff, but they don't win the cup. What's the contract you can live with?
Okay. By the way, thank you for the parameters of the playoff thing. Here's my number one thing. I want term because you know who's Mr. Loyal? You know who's Mr. Hometown Discount? It's William Nylander. He signed an 8-year deal. Matthews signed a 4-year deal. Marner signed a 6-year deal in his last one. As long as Mitch Marner signs an 8-year deal, 13 and a half, if he wants to go $1 more than Matthews, that's fine because the salary cap is finally going up.
It's kind of inevitable that we would get here because Darren Ferris and the Marner camp have shown whatever Austin Matthews is getting is where they're negotiating from. That's their point. And I think that he is going to ask for Austin Matthews money. It's hard to imagine the number is a 12 that they wind up walking away with.
It's starting at 13. It's going to start at 13.
And it could conceivably be more because there's teams with cap space out there and the cap's going up. So the Leafs are in a bit of a jam, but there's other teams that are starting to mobilize. And as we all know, the least appreciated weapon that a GM has is cap space. So I heard the guys on the Leafs report today talking about how Chicago was mobilized to go in there and try and get a partner for Connor Bedard. And, you know, they can be tight for a year or two under the cap, but they don't care because they're not going to win. They'll get rid of some contracts, bring in some new players. There's teams out there that can make life miserable for the Leafs. The Leafs have such a small window to operate in because they've got a lot of contracts to juggle. And they got to keep a basically good team together. So I don't know what, if you're talking percentage here, percentage that Mitch Marner is not a Leaf to start next year.
I'm going less. Jonas Siegel, most people have been saying around 70 or 75%. I'm going to say 48% Marner is not a Maple Leaf next year, because you mentioned Connor Bedard. I could throw out Macklin Celebrini. Almost mispronounced that last name. Those are two young players, very productive, who are on rookie deals. You want to give Marner $15 million? Fine. Take the blowback from year one. Get a C-plus grade on The Athletic, Myrtle, for the first year. But because those guys are getting very little money, you can afford Marner at this period.
Those teams can. But the Leafs only have a certain ceiling that they can hit past, which is really unfeasible.
Yeah.
Because you got to start making moves where you actually hurt your own team. And then the logic of bringing back someone to keep the core together as you diminish the value of the team you have doesn't make a lot of sense. Did the Four Nations Cup in any way change how you view Marner going into these playoffs? And should it matter moving forward?
There was a slight bump. There was a slight bump. That was it. It still feels like there was a lot of other teams that said, Mikko, we love you. We're not going to give you $13.5 million. We're not going to do that because we already have a star on our team making less than that. We love you, but we have our internal cap. The one team that doesn't have an internal cap is the Maple Leafs. That's the big issue. And then that's what puts them behind other teams. You know, when it comes to Marner, even though the cap's going up, we talked about Austin Matthews. The last negotiations, what was Darren Ferris angry about? That Nylander and Matthews were taken care of and they felt Marner was disrespected and lowballed. So much of this is about respect.
Marner is a very, very good player, an excellent player.
He is.
The reason I brought up the Four Nations Cup is, unless this really changes in the playoffs, I think what you saw there is his best case scenario, which is he is a tier two star. Tier one stars are the Connor McDavids, Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon. These are the players that impact winning so directly that you can build a team around them. Austin Matthews wasn't spectacular in the tournament, but he is that guy. And there's probably five or six names out there where you go, that is the kind of guy. You know, Victor Hedman's been that guy in the past. There's any number of players at any given time you go, you can build a team around that guy. Marner is in that second tier of complementary talent. Very valuable to have, essential to have, really. But I think he wants everyone to think of him as tier one, and he's not. We see this in the NBA all the time. Guys who want to get paid like they are the man. But the second they become the man, the team becomes the mediocre. Mitch Marner is probably like Mikko Rantanen's money's what? It's 12 and a half. Is that what he got? Over 8?
12 and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be a good deal for Mitch Marner. They are comparables. They are contemporaries. You can make a case that Rantanen's been a little better than Marner. You can say Marner's a little more spectacular than Rantanen.
Marner better defensively. Mikko has been much better in the playoffs.
Right. So let's call it a wash and say it should be 12 and a half, but we're not talking about 12 and a half because what we're talking about is a camp's ego. And this camp has always had that ego. And when they didn't trade him before his no trade clause kicked in, this was inevitable.
It's so true. So much of this is about ego. And then it gets to the question, what's better? Because the Leafs want to sign him to an extension. They've wanted to sign him to an extension for a while now. What's better? You bring him back, give him what he wants, or let him walk. And then let's say you use that money, because you're going to be saving a lot of money, and you're going to be getting some money back because you're not going to be giving Tavares $11 million. The cap is going up. What if you get another top four defenseman and a winger center who can drive a third line? I'm not even talking a top six forward. A slightly overqualified third line winger. Nyes is getting better. You have other guys you can throw in there. Are the Leafs better, even if their talent level is slightly worse, but is the mix better for the playoffs?
You know that ever since that Montreal series, I've been saying they should get rid of Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
And it's not to say he's not a great player, but the mix seemed off.
Yeah.
It just didn't feel like four top heavy players was going to work. And I've advocated for that. And so you don't got to sell me. I mean, everybody's like the team will be embarrassed if he goes for nothing. Well, that's kind of true. But then you also have that cap space available to go out and make some other moves. And you might be able to do some smart stuff that in the end, the question is this: how do we help Austin Matthews win? Mm-hmm. In the way that in Edmonton, it was, how do we help Connor McDavid win? In Colorado, it's how do we help Nathan MacKinnon win? We've got one of the three best players in the world, one of the three best forwards in the world on our team. what Mitch feels or doesn't feel, who gives a fuck?
Yeah. And you have also Matthew Nyes. He's close to a 30 goal guy. You know who Mitch Marner reminds me of? And I'm going to apologize. This is a cliche. It's been said on all the shows. Mitch Marner is T. Higgins.
Interesting.
The Bengals are like, oh, no, you got to bring back Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Well, you had them last year and you messed the playoffs. You let T. Higgins go. You get an elite guard. You get a solid rotational defensive tackle, you know, and one other linebacker that helps on special teams. And even though you might not have as much talent, you might have a more well-rounded team. No matter what happens, if Marner leaves, no matter who the Leafs get in free agency, no single player will be better than Marner. Impossible. Impossible. But is the can you bring in a better mix for the team?
All right. So I want to ask you a bunch of NFL stuff, and then I've got some random stuff to go through. And you're probably all Mitched out.
Yeah. Or if one other Mitch thing.
Okay.
And this one is not about Mitch Marner. Actually, no, sorry. I shouldn't have said this about Mitch Marner. This is about Brock Nelson.
Okay.
Don't worry. We're not going to get into the Colorado Avalanche lines.
You mean the rich man Scott Laughton?
Oh, my God. Oh, the deadline. It's a fun day. Friday, fun day. Fun show. Brock Nelson came out and said, I don't mind being traded, but I don't want to be traded to a Canadian team. The salary cap keeps going up and up and up. Mikko Rantanen showed a little bit of player empowerment. I'm like, I'm not going to be with you, Carolina. I got traded here. I don't want to be here. I want to be somewhere else. So the cap is going up. Players are getting more power. Not one single player of near star level, not even star, even B plus level. Not one player has ever said, I only want to be in Canada. If you are a Canadian GM on just about every team, you've got to be fucking terrified, because the players are getting more power. And what do players love? Golf, jet skis, being anonymous, and hopefully making more money and in lesser tax states. And if they got to be in California, at least they got the beach and the golf.
Florida is now a hockey powerhouse, at least in terms of the teams that they can put on the ice.
Yep.
Texas, I mean, Dallas looks really, really great. And just wait for Houston to get a team. There'll be one more tax shelter to go play for.
Winnipeg. You're moving to
tax shelter.
Yeah. Winnipeg, you're moving to Texas.
the Houston Jets looking good.
Yeah.
Of course, it's totally true. And honestly, I remember once hearing that one of the reasons they like to go down there isn't just for the lifestyle and the money and all that, but also it's just easier to play in the warm weather because Canadian winters are brutal and bodies take a pounding, and you just heal better in the desert heat. You heal better when it's warm, and you don't have to fight the climate as much. Your bones don't ache. Your everything heals faster.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. I'm not Andrew Huberman. I don't know. Is it Huberman or Huberman?
You were making fun of me 10 minutes ago about names, and now you're asking me. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so here's my question for Mitch. What do you think's going to happen? What would you like to see happen?
What I think's going to happen, if I'm playing the odds, he's going to sign here because he does love here. His wife just had a child. Let's not take away the infrastructure of family. Friends, family are all within Southern Ontario. How important is that, especially when you have a new kid? He grew up loving Toronto. He can be a celebrity here. He's got Matthews, most likely Tavares, Nylander, and an organization that's catered to the stars. So that's what he's probably going to do. What I would like, I'd like him to sign it. If he's going to sign, it's got to be 8 years for a little bit less than Matthews. That would be a win, because the cap is going to go up so much over the next 3 to 5 years. That deal will look great in two.
I think he signs here for 8 years and just below Matthews. What I would like to see happen is, well, obviously what I'd like to see is less money, and, you know, but there's also a scenario where I think he signs for slightly more than Matthews, but only 5 years.
If that happens, my show for the next 3 days is going to be me screaming. And just, I'm going to, that's making me angry to think about that. Like, again, I need to say this. I'm not anti-player, What I'm anti is, why the fuck every time does this hurt the Maple Leafs? Why the fuck every time does Dallas, Colorado, the state of Florida, everyone signs for great term for a little bit less money, but in Toronto, no, I'll sign a four-year deal for a whole lot of money, which hurts the ability of the team to win, as they've been trying to find a third-line center forever. The fourth line is an absolute disaster. And recently, Oliver Ekman-Larsson is a nightmare out there. And part of that is, you don't have the same flexibility. If he signs for around Matthews or slightly over Matthews money for 4 to 5 years, well, then Brad Treliving just went to the Kyle Dubas School of Negotiating.
I want you to put on your Keith Pelly hat. You're both adorable and energetic and rich from Etobicoke. So, you know, you can play Keith. Yep. So Keith Pelly, you're running MLSE. If Mitch goes, does Brendan even make it to the year?
No, Brendan's gone. Like, here's the Shanahan plan.
If Mitch is gone on July 1, is Shanahan gone on July 2?
Shanahan plan's done. You tried, you failed. You had 10 plus years. You, by the way, Shanahan plan, tip of the cap. You entertained us in the regular season. We had a lot of star players that made for a lot of fun hockey on weeknights throughout the winter. But you failed. One round of the playoffs. You had an experiment and a vision. That vision failed. You need to bring in new management that says, guys, you're not getting 5 years and whatever money you want. There's no more internal cap. We're following what the winning teams are doing. By the way, hold on. Think about this for a second. Think about this. In every other sport, Bob, what do we hear about? Oh, it's a copycat league. Every team copycats the winning teams. You know who doesn't copycat? The Maple Leafs. They don't copycat Tampa and Florida and Colorado. They're like, bah, those are those teams. We're going to give our guys whatever they want for less term. I'm not even angry. I'm in a delicious glass of Ontario Gamay. Like, and yet,
what are you drinking? You keep okay. So, just so you know, because this is not a video podcast,
thank God.
I can see Matt. We have a video link to each other, and he keeps swirling this wine and then lifting it up to his nose while I'm talking and drinking. And his pinky is out. It is the most obnoxious thing.
So obnoxious. It's so obnoxious. So,
can you just freaking gun it? Just gun it back.
I'm not. You think I'm going to gun back single vineyard Gamay made by one of the best winemakers in all of Canada and Thomas Batchelder? For shame on you, Bob. For shame. It's a. How about
third
this?
Show in a row that Batchelder's name has came up.
What's that?
Third show in a row that Batchelder's name has came up.
I know. Listen, if I like to support small business, hey, Bob, that's me. I guess I'm against the normal rules. I'm pro small business and Canadian farmers.
We all know that about you. Okay, how much time do we have left?
Oh, we got at least like 12 to 15 minutes.
Okay, I want to do quite a bit of football with you. So if I have enough time, I've got something I want to throw up. But here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do almost like a snake draft where I throw out a name from free agency, and then that name will set up the next name that I throw out. And it's almost like 6 degrees of separation kind of thing. But all I want to start with the Sam Darnold deal. Sam Darnold to Seattle, $103 million. What's your take on that?
The deal makes sense. It's just slightly more money than Baker Mayfield. And considering in the NFL, salary cap means nothing. It goes up like $70 million a year every year. The only concern I have is that Sam Darnold was in a situation with an offensive-minded coach with Justin Jefferson, J.J. Addison, good offensive line, a lot of weapons around him. Now he goes to Seattle, who just said goodbye to Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and their offensive line gave up the third most sacks. I love the Sam Darnold story. I hope Seattle, if they're going to invest that amount of money into him, they do whatever they can to elevate him, because he's not one of those top five quarterbacks that can win anywhere. He's not Josh Allen.
So I'm going to throw out a name, and then you tell me what you think of this. Actually, I just blanked on the name. Okay, I'm not going to throw out a name, and I'm not going to ask you. I totally shot out of my head.
Who's been drinking?
I got the name. I remember it now. It was saved from the Sarlacc pit. You ready?
Yeah.
You're the gambling guy. What percentage would you put it that Sam Darnold is this year's Nick Foles? Guy who comes from a really good situation, has never been all that great, raises his stock, and then people go, oh, then he must be good. And then you find out actually, no, it was a blip.
I hate to say it because I'm rooting for him. I'm going to put that at 76%, so over three quarters, because Nick Foles, he won a Super Bowl. He beat Tom Brady when Brady had 500 yards and the Patriots didn't punt. Sam Darnold had his first great year in a perfect situation. He's now going to Seattle, the defensive mind, more of a defensive minded coaching staff there. So yeah, I'm going to say the most likely at the end of this year, we're going to look at Sam Darnold like he's younger Kirk Cousins. And I hate to say that. I hope I'm wrong.
One good story in, another good story out, Geno Smith to Las Vegas. And that team has been good under Geno Smith. Not great, but consistently, yeah, but consistently good. And yeah. I wonder to what extent a fan base gets tired of being good, but not really good. And I wonder to what extent in sports you get spoiled because great can be the enemy of good. And should we maybe have more allowance for a team that's consistently competitive, but never dynamic? Because honestly, at least half the league is below average by definition.
Yep.
And other teams are in and out of the top half all the time. If you have a team that's consistently good, like we've had with the Leafs, but they don't go anywhere, but it's been a fun ride and they're good. Should we be more satisfied? Or do you buy the argument that if you don't win, it's been a wasted year?
Jesus, Bob, that's like one of the single biggest big picture questions in all of sports. And now trying to answer it now. It's a difficult thing in North America where we don't have regular season means everything. Everything is still about the playoffs. It's very different than in Europe. I wish we had more of that system, but it doesn't exist because there still is ring culture. There still is Jordan versus LeBron. There still is goat talk with quarterbacks. I wish we had that more. The main thing I wish is that people could find joy in the regular season success and not put all the eggs in the postseason, but that's goddamn impossible here in Toronto when it comes to the Maple Leafs. As for Geno Smith, my nerdy take, Raiders draft Shedeur Sanders, let Geno Smith be an overqualified bridge quarterback, and he could go eventually from Geno Smith to Shedeur Sanders.
All right, you mentioned DK Metcalf, who goes from Seattle over to Pittsburgh. How much of their offensive problem does that move help to settle?
Well, it certainly does. By the end of the year, all their receivers were injured, and George Pickens is a bit of a nut bar. Actually, the main thing they got to do is for George Pickens to grow up as a player. And the fact that they got rid of Justin Fields, who I know everyone in the media loves, which seems odd to me, Russell Wilson with those two weapons, that's not bad. That's not bad. The problem is you're in a division with Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. So good luck with that. But DK Metcalf, that contract that's a good contract. $30 million a year from now is going to feel underpaid. It's a good deal, but Pittsburgh still doesn't have the quarterback. I like Russell Wilson, but he's still a high floor raiser, but doesn't raise the ceiling.
Yeah, it's another team that's consistently good, but never great. You mentioned Justin Fields to New York. He goes to the Jets, which has been a graveyard for quarterbacks. Do you feel, well, I think I know your answer because you've already indicated you think he's slightly overrated. Are you surprised, though, that the Jets weren't able to execute something more impactful in the short term?
No, they just wanted to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. They were just fleeing from that. I think they'll draft a quarterback in the second or the third round. You know, even Shedeur Sanders, wherever he goes, he's going to be going higher than he probably should. But Justin Fields going to the Jets is the worst case scenario. Like, horror movie version, rich guy who's misogynist, who the dusting of sexism, who decides, I don't need to be at this party anymore, even though it's raining and apparently there's a killer outside. I'm going to take my expensive whiskey and get my car and drive home. You're dead in the first 10 minutes of the movie. Justin Fields with the Jets? It's a goddamn disaster.
Well, you mentioned John Carpenter's escape from New York a couple weeks ago. I think that's probably what he's going to need to do in 12 to 18 months.
There's
speaking
no snake
of rich people getting slaughtered in a mansion, have you ever seen the horror movie You're Next?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Really good.
Okay.
Dark and funny.
Okay.
Highly recommend. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, does he play anywhere next year?
God, I hope not. Because, Bob, there's two teams out there right now. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Giants. And right.
Oh my God. I see where you're going. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just had to laugh.
I won't do I feel like Laurie Stroud and I'm just like, please, Michael Myers, don't come to my home. I'm like the babysitter when the phone rings, we're going to go old timey horror movies. When the killer says, have you checked the children? And the police says, the murderer is in your home. That's how I'm feeling right now. But the idea of Aaron Rodgers joining the New York Giants.
I thought you guys were going to turn it around when you hired Brian Daboll because he seemed pretty smart. But the Giants are quickly picking up a reputation for being a beetle that's flipped over on its back and just cannot right itself. When did you guys become pathetic?
When they beat Minnesota in the playoffs. Same way when the Maple Leafs took the Bruins to seven in 2013 or whatever it was, and they thought they were good, and they changed the trajectory. It was the same thing. When the Giants beat Minnesota in that playoff game where Daniel Jones looked good, then it's like, all right, Daniel Jones, give him all the money. Here we go. Boop, boop, boop. We don't need a running back. Now we're shit.
I've got to ask, where would Aaron Rodgers fit in your pantheon of causes most hated athletes? Just before you answer that, I want to tell a story. So Matthew is not only a Giants fan, but he loves the Florida Gators. I don't know if you still do. They don't come up as much. But so Jesse Palmer, good Canadian kid, was the star quarterback in Florida and then went on to be a backup quarterback, an occasional starter for the Giants. You would think that Matt would love this guy, but Matt hated Jesse Palmer. He hated him on the Gators and he hated him on the Giants. So we're doing OTR one day and who's our guest? Jesse Palmer. And he comes to the bullpen where all our desks are afterwards. And he sees that Matt has a Giants football helmet, like a proper game helmet sitting on his desk. And he picks it up and he says, hey, do you want me to sign this? And you said,
nope, it's okay. Totally fine.
That was exactly what you said. You said, nope, I'm okay.
I lied and said, oh, no, we need to use this helmet. We needed to shoot it for the intro for Off the Record, which was a total lie. I'm like, he is such a nice man, but fuck that guy. He never beat Florida State as a Florida Gator. He was shit with the Giants. I did not want that man's signature on my New York Giants helmet.
Oh, it was the best. And he just looked so convinced that he was going to make your day. You shot him down.
I look back. I have regrets, but you know.
Oh my God. Did you ever tell him that story? Because you must have dealt with him when you were Mike Richards' producer.
Yeah, no, never. I never brought that story up. Lovely man. Very nice man. Not a good quarterback.
He's done great for himself. But okay, so where would Aaron Rodgers fit in your pantheon of hated athletes?
Low, because I haven't had to deal with him very much. And the Giants beat him in the playoffs when Green Bay was 15-1. I hated what he did with Kimmel and the whole Epstein Island thing. And I mean, whatever your thoughts on immunize or just whatever wordplay he did. He was never emotionally close. I was never emotionally close to him. He didn't ruin football the way, say, Kevin Durant ruined basketball. Okay, so Aaron Rodgers was...
I was about to say, you hate Kevin Durant.
Yep.
You hate Carmelo Anthony.
Yep.
You hate the running back, Ron Dayne.
Fuck that guy.
Do you want to tell the lasagna story?
I used to change Ron Dayne, a Heisman-winning running back with Wisconsin, first-round draft pick of the Giants. I will forget the date of people that I love, their birthdays. I'll never forget the moment I was in the car driving to Boston, listening to ESPN when the Giants drafted Ron Dayne. I wanted to jerk the car off of the I-75. So what I would do from time to time is I would go to Wikipedia and I would change his Wikipedia account to say Ron Dayne loves eating lasagna. He was a more corpulent running back. Eventually, Wikipedia got smart, banned me from editing Ron Dayne's Wikipedia. So I went to the lasagna Wikipedia account and I said, Ron Dayne loves eating this.
Oh, man, you're a culture hacker.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Oh,
God, that makes me laugh. Okay, so then this flips me over to Indianapolis where Daniel Jones just got picked up to fight for a spot with Anthony Richardson, who is going to be the quarterback of the future. Have you ever seen a less impressive title match than Daniel Jones versus Anthony Richardson?
I mean, it's so bad. Daniel Jones is actually the more accurate of the two quarterbacks. And I feel bad for Anthony Richardson, former Florida Gator, but the guys played like nine games in college. You know, this was bound to happen. Actually, I feel bad for Daniel Jones. He's getting ripped for it. He's just trying to get a job. He was overpaid at the Giants. That's not his fault, but he was shit as well.
The last time I think there were two players that were supposed to be, like you're having a discussion about elite positions and a competition and just pathetic entrance into that competition would be Zachary Risacher versus Alex Saar for who was going to get drafted first in the 2024 NBA draft. And there are no winners.
Oh, no. Or the Anthony Bennett year. You're right. By the way, we've got like 90. We got like 1 minute left on the next pod. Bob, I'm obsessed with all these shitty tanking teams in the NBA. I am absolutely obsessed with it. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
Well, let's do a pod at the end of the week, because now that we're doing it by Zoom, we can fire this up anytime. So why don't we do one on Friday?
Sure. We don't have the TTC telling us what to do.
All right. Take that, TTC.
Take that. Well, oh, God. Oh, I ruined it.
Because you were swirling your wine. You were too busy shoving your nose in the wine. You weren't seeing I was teeing up the Ferris departure.
Bob, I ruined it. You had it. Instead of Gamay Noir, Gamay Yesar?
Chichika.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.